Well, blessings to you this morning. Been good to be here already. Seems like we've had some interruptions this morning, different things happening, but praise the Lord. Could have been worse, right? Thank you for that devotional and children's lesson. Lauren, you mentioned something about why was Lot. I've always asked that question too. Why is he called righteous? But I wonder if it is because of Abraham. Abraham prayed for his nephew, right? There was his nephew. And I think it was because of his nephew, because of Abraham. A lot of it. I mean, he rescued him when he was in a dire need. If that's what it was, what are we doing? Is there someone that we can help in a situation where they don't know how to get out, but that we can be there for them? Kind of feel like kind of halfway prepared. I left home a little early. Try to make sure that everything works here at church. The water wasn't working, and so I didn't quite get everything done that I wanted to. But I think we'll just use the electronic machine here to kind of help me through here. So. All right, for a text here this morning, for my message, turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 1. I think it goes good along with what Lauren shared in the devotional. The title of my message is, How is Jesus Glorified in My Life? How is Jesus glorified in my life? Would have been back before Jesus when Lot's time. I mean, they didn't have Jesus. They hadn't come yet. But how does that work in, how is Jesus glorified in my life? Let's read here. Before we read the chapter here, let me read the word glorified means to praise, to magnify, and honor in worship, to ascribe honor to in thought and in words, to make glorious, to exalt, to glory, or to celestial happiness. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's in Romans 8. To praise, to honor, to extol, to procure honor, to praise, to. This comes from the 1828 dictionary. How is Jesus glorified in my life? Because we can be a little bit like Lot. You know, we have all the money we need, we have all the food we need, but miss what is most valuable. And that is to glorify the Lord. We're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to glorify the Lord Jesus. He's the one that put us here. And what is happening in my life that glorifies Him? Because let's read here in Romans. Why don't we just have a word of prayer before we read this here in Romans? Father in heaven, we just come to you right now again. We thank you for your word. Thank you that your word illuminates things in our heart that we can change and that we can be more like you. And Lord, just help us to make wise choices and to not just make choices that please our flesh, but Lord, that we can choose to follow you in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And Lord, that we would shine forth as lights and that we can make a difference for your kingdom's sake. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and that directs us as we walk by faith. We just pray for your presence with us as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read first just down to verse 20. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness when I serve you with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now remember, he's talking to Christians here. And here he's talking about being, in verse 11, he talks about being established. And in verse 13 here, he's talking about some fruit, having some fruit among you. It's not just to be saved is a beginning, right? It's a beginning, but what is the fruit that's coming out of our lives? Is there fruit? Are we being established in the faith? Are we being, is there fruit coming forth? Is my life glorifying the Lord Jesus? Verse 14 says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you and that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 21 is where I got my title, where it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They know God. We know God. If we know God and we don't glorify him as God, we are in the same... We might be in the same condition as what Lot was. He knew God, But was he glorifying God? Was the wickedness that was around him, it says it vexed his soul. I think that's the way it says, isn't it? It vexed his soul. And I think the same thing will happen to us. When we don't glorify God, it'll vex our soul. And how is that happening in my life? I mean, how do we glorify God? When we honor him, what am I doing every day of the week that you could say that you are honoring God in what? I mean, there can be simple things there's things that we can that will make a difference. I'm thinking. In Malachi, also it says, "And now, this is Malachi 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, and now," this is talking to the children of Israel, he said, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." And remember also in the New Testament, it says that we are priests. This was talking to the priests back in the Old Testament. And says, "Now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it." Here it says, you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name. I think too, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, too often, something can happen, or just normal everyday things, you know, that happen sometimes, you think, well, that's just the way it went. Well, if we pray in the morning, if we take time to have prayer and spend time with the Lord, that's honoring God. Because giving glory, the word glory is the word glory and glory. I gave you the definition for glorify is, and it's kind of a lot the same. Here in Malachi, it mentions about, you know, the priests weren't giving glory unto his name. They weren't honoring. Glory and honor kind of is a little bit the same. If you look at the Bible, the way it's used is to honor and glory is somewhat linked together. To give glory or to give honor unto the Lord. To boast, glory, the definition for glory says to boast, to be proud. I mean, we have great reasons to be proud of the Lord Jesus. I mean, do we do that? I mean, the things that we do that in our life, if our life is it, excuse me, if our life every day is just about making money and getting ahead in the financial world, and we're not actually glorifying the Lord, we are in great danger of being swallowed up or being vexed by the world. I mean, David has a lot of David. I mean, if you look in the Psalms, I wrote some of the Psalms down here, I think. Let me read a psalm here. I'm going to turn back to Psalms 24. We all know Psalms 23. Psalms 24, you can turn there with me if you want to. It It's interesting. If you look at what we can do to glorify the Lord, you can read David's Psalms. His heart was to please the Lord. It wasn't to do his own thing. But if you look in, let's read Psalms 24. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek the face of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Or you could almost say that you could, that word there, glory, you could switch it with honor. The King of honor is coming in. Who is this King of glory, or this King of honor? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. This is David's, says a Psalm of David. It says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? And the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. David wanted nothing more than to please the Lord. I mean, now we know there was times when it didn't, that he fell away, but he always came back to that. One time when he numbered the children of Israel, and the Lord gave him, what was it, three options, three choices. There was like war from his enemies, or being disciplined by the hand of the Lord, and I forget what the third one. Well, he chose the one to be disciplined by the Lord, and because it was a hard choice for him, but he knew if he chose the one that was from the Lord, that even if it was hard, it was still going to be the best. Another one, just a couple of verses here in Psalms. It says a prayer of David. This is in Psalms, I thought I had written it down. I think it was Psalms 12. It says a prayer of David. "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. And in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me, O Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore." Is that our heart? I will glorify thy name forevermore. I mean, if you read in Romans, they were, Paul was talking to the church at Rome there, and they were not, you know, if they didn't It says, let me just turn back to that again. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. It's like two different things. They weren't thankful, and they didn't glorify God they didn't acknowledge him. They didn't honor him. What am I doing? I think some of the things that, you know, when we read his word and we do what he says, I think one of the things that I was just thinking, just a practical thing, you know, we pray before we eat. Now, why do we do that? I mean, that's honoring God, right? But how do we, there's a couple of verses in Matthew 5, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Then it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So it's not even that we always are mindful of that we're glorifying the Lord. It's here it's saying that other people, let your light shine, and then other people will see it and glorify the Lord. So we can almost do it in a roundabout way. When we just live a life of service and faithfulness to God and people see that, it says they will glorify the Lord. Because they know it's not natural. If we do, if you're just living a life of dedication to the Lord, it can be a testimony to other people that see you. And we don't sometimes you don't even know it. We don't really realize it. There's a verse that we have in our living room. I asked the family the other day if they know what the verse is that we have in there. They tried to guess where it was, but I think we got close to it. It says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Give unto the Lord the glory or the honor due unto his name. I mean, do we do that? I think that makes one of the biggest difference in a family sometimes. You know, when you pray for something, maybe you have a situation that you pray for, and then maybe, I don't know, next week or a couple months later or something, you know, oh, that's, you know, that was taken care of. If we recognize that as God answered prayer, or we say, oh, well, it just went, that's the way it went anyway, we are throwing away precious opportunities for training and teaching our children to honor the Lord in all that we do. In Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles 16, I'm going to read some of the verses there. 1 Chronicles 16 says, "And so they brought the ark," this is when they brought the ark back, and they were, it had been removed, it wasn't with the children of Israel, I think, for a while there. I forget, I didn't check it to see how long it was, but there was for a while there, they didn't have it. "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of the of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. He had set up people to thank the Lord. And then it gives the names of the of the people that he had doing that. It says, and then verse 7 in First Chronicles 16 says, then on that day David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brother. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, let all ye talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. I think we are, as I was meditating about this, I know we are kind of, and if you look at, and I was also thinking of the Pharisees. You know, they were, what do you call them, maybe a Methodist? They had a method of how they were doing things. And I think we can sometimes be people of methods. You know, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do everything right, and then that'll be just what you, that's all that's necessary. But you do see the Pharisees, they had their methods how to do things, but they weren't glorifying the Lord. And I think we can fall in the same trap. We can have our methods of how to do things, and God forbid that we would do that here in this church. You know, we have a method how to do everything and do everything right, and then that's acceptable. If we're not glorifying the Lord, we've missed it all. There's just another verse there, and I actually had quite a bit of the chapter there. I'm not going to read all of it. They're in 1 Chronicles 16, but it's another verse. Verse 28 of 1 Chronicles 16 says, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength, honor and strength. Honor him. Honor. I mean, if we're just doing our everyday duties, we're just making money and whatsoever ye do, do it as unto the Lord. That's what the New Testament comes and says then. If we're doing it as unto the Lord, we're honoring him. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. That is also in verse 29 in 2 Chronicles. It's a repeat from Psalms. Or I'm not sure, is it the other way around? Was 1 Chronicles written before Psalms? David says that in Psalms, you know, give glory unto the Lord, due unto his name. The last verse there in 1 Chronicles 16 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I know, you know, we've sometimes practiced that little phrase from the Africans. You know, they're a little more expressive people, and they, you know, the little phrase where they say, God is good, and then the congregation says, all the time, and then the preacher says, all the time, and God is good, you know. That is honoring, I don't know, is that honoring the Lord? I think it is. You know, we're recognizing it's training our hearts and our minds that no matter what happens in our lives, God is still good. If your house burns down, can you still say God is good? Like lightning struck the tree, it could have burned the parsonage down over here. Lightning struck the tree over here. I mean, it might be interesting today to go over and look at that. it went over toward the gas tank. If the gas tank would have exploded, I mean, what would have happened to the house? Or even if that gas tank would have exploded, this church building might not be here either. If it would have burned down, could we still say God is good? He's still good, right? God is good all the time, right? In another little verse that I wanted to read here. As I said earlier, you know, we're not just here for ourselves. We're not just here to make money, and we're here to glorify the Lord. And how and what opportunities do we take advantage of to do that? Here in Psalms 26, there's just some of these verses that kind of jumped out at me. It says, you know, it talks about, I'm just going to read the first verses here in chapter 26. It says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocence, and so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Okay, those were verses that you kind of, okay, David was saying, you know, he tried to separate himself from wicked people. But that's not the end. This is the reason why he did it. Verse 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. He didn't just stay away from evil men to stay away from evil men, but he did it so that he may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of the Lord's wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, that doesn't mean that we stay away from evil people. That doesn't mean that we don't go out and sometimes and share the gospel with people that need it. But at the same time, what are we doing? Here in verse 8 it says, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. I mean, don't we love to come together with people that honor the Lord? Well, it needs to be personal too. I mean, how am I honoring the Lord? I mean, we as a family, we enjoy coming to church with people that honor the Lord. But it all needs to be personal. It needs to happen at home too. Does it happen? Does each one of our families, are we doing that at home? Honoring the Lord. Giving thanks for what he has done. I mean, as I was meditating on this, I was, you know, you start thinking of things that the Lord has blessed you in your life. I mean, you know what it does? It takes away any... if you start thinking of what the Lord has done for you already, it takes away all the thing of complaining and it just kind of removes all the negative, or it has the potential for me to do that anyway. You know, if I thank the Lord for what he has done and given me, then I don't have room for complaining. Even though, you know, there's lots of things that probably the Lord still wants to do in my life. But if I'm open, He can do that. He can work through me, maybe through other people sometimes. In kind of toward the end here, see if I... In Revelations, we know there's lots of Revelations 5, 11 through 13. Says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So if you ever start thinking of what is life all about, it's not about washing dishes and hauling minivans, but it's to glorify the Lord, right? And if we do those things as unto the Lord, then we can make a difference. Someone might see it and glorify the Lord through what He sees us doing, what they see us doing. Because I think it was a couple weeks ago I mentioned, you know, when we were over in Ashley, there was these people, this lady came and they said they appreciate how we, I forget exactly how, something to do with the fact about how we work together, or how we just kind of, you know, we were there together as a church, as a family. They were glorifying the Lord. It meant something to them. So in closing, I thought there's a song that I was thinking my family can come up and we're going to sing it. I think it's probably a song that we will glorify the Lord, I think it is the name of it. So if the children want to come up, we will sing that together in closing.